Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this first Sunday of Advent. I'm Barbara Little here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and today we will hear and discuss the Gospel from St. Matthew and read and discuss the Word of Life for December. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
The Schoenstatt families of the Coastal Bend cordially invite you to join them in a Schoenstatt family posada at the Confidentia Shrine, 134 Front Street in Rockport. The event is a posada, Mary and Joseph searching for a safe place for the Christ child to be born. The event begins with a rosary at 1:30 p.m. Sunday, December 15th, the third Sunday of Advent. Holy Mass will follow the posada at 2:30 and continue on after that with a covered dish meal, which attendees have provided. So bring a dish, and there'll be lots of goodies for the children as well. For more information, call the Schoenstatt office, 361-992-9841.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
Very, very well, Barbara, and happy Advent. This is the start of Advent.
It is, and we always say that once we get past Halloween, things go so quickly, and here we are.
Yes, right, and especially Thanksgiving. We got past Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. What a beautiful celebration we have in our country. It's a wonderful, one of my favorite times.
Yes, it is. So with the first Sunday of Advent, I mentioned that our gospel this morning is from St. Matthew, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
First of all, it's interesting that we begin Advent, which is the season of anticipation of the coming of Christ, with the gospel that the verses are from the end of the gospel. So it's from Matthew chapter 24. Jesus said to his disciples, "As in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. In those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day that Noah entered the ark. They did not know until the flood came and carried them all away. So it will be also at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be out in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, and one will be left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on which day your Lord will come. Be sure of this: if the master of the house had known the hour of night when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and not let his house be broken into. So too, you must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, as you said, Bishop, this talks about, you know, the end of time, and we've heard this reading before. You know, maybe not.
Oh, many times.
Yeah, many
sure,
times.
Sure.
Yeah, just to be aware.
The interesting thing, though, and I think this is something that is important for all of us to understand as we begin. Advent has two meanings. First of all, it is a preparation for the first coming of Christ. But as the gospel today very clearly indicates, it also points us to the second coming of Christ. And it's that second coming that puts us to sleep, because it's a promise, but it's unfulfilled. In other words, we have to wait for it. So as in the time before Jesus, there was a great longing and waiting for the Messiah, we as church, we as believers, we as Christians must spend our life waiting. So for us too today as Christians, it mirrors what was happening before the coming of Jesus, when the people of God were waiting for the Messiah. Is this the one? Is that the one? But there was a great anticipation. And of course, Mary, John the Baptist, so many of those what they call intertestament figures were waiting for the Messiah. And in our day, it's the same thing. And this is what the gospel of today is about, that it reminds us that he will come again. It's in those moments that we kind of fall asleep when we're waiting. We get kind of tired of waiting. We don't see the results. But that's where faith comes in. Faith is about calling us to be always alert, always awake. And so St. Matthew, Jesus says here in the Gospel of Matthew, stay awake, for you do not know which day your Lord will come, which says he will come.
Right.
And in fact, we proclaim every time we celebrate the Mass, he will come again. And I think for this year especially and for the coming years, we need to really keep that in mind. He will come again. And that reflects on how we live. How do we live our Christian life? Faith cannot be lived sleeping. Faith cannot be lived in a dormant kind of lifestyle where life just kind of goes on, but the faith in us lies dormant. It doesn't, in other words, it doesn't reflect in the way we live, what we say, what we do, who we are. We just go about life, and that's what the first part of the gospel speaks about in the days of Noah. They were sleeping, you might say. They ate and drank and got drunk. And
a lot of merriment.
Yeah, it's a lot of merriment. And so this is what Jesus was saying. Be careful, you know, because they missed it. Where we are called to be active in our anticipation and our preparation for the coming of the Lord. And so this Advent is a real special time for us to not fall asleep, but to really examine ourselves. And also, I just want to point out in the second reading that we have in the readings at Mass today from the book of Romans, it says, it is the hour now for you to awake from sleep. So St. Paul is addressing the church in Rome, as I'm addressing myself and all of us in the Diocese of Corpus Christi. It's time for us to wake up. Where is our faith? Is it dormant? Is it asleep? Does it have any meaning in life? And of course, many who do not find meaning in their faith allow it to go to sleep. And I think it's a time in the midst of many, many challenges in the church, beyond the church, in the world, a divided world. It's saying, let's wake up and live our faith, which obviously has the power to bring new light, new joy into our world. If we stay asleep, other things, other powers take over, let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm. And this is a wonderful time of the year to start that.
It is, and I just want to say that recently I was in Ireland, in Northern Ireland, in Belfast and Derry, where so much violence took place, ethnically, call it Catholic, Protestant. It's really not a religious war, but where people just don't accept each other. They built walls, and they're still there, and they're ugly. And you could see the division and the division among people where Jesus said, may they all be one. And so that's when we fall asleep in our faith and allow our passions to take over. That's what happens. We alienate people, we judge people, we criticize people, and it divides us. And that's not what God is about. That's not what we are about as Christians. To speak of any of that kind of activity in the name of the church, in the name of Jesus Christ, is wrong. Mm-hmm. So let's not sleep in our faith.
Absolutely. Bishop, we were talking before the program started. You have an announcement for us of something that's going to be going on in the diocese.
I do, and it pertains to all this. So we have been working for a few months now, and I'm very excited to announce to the diocese that we will begin in 2020, a two-and-a-half-year program of renewal for us based on the body of Christ, the name of our city, the name of our diocese, the body of Christ. What does it mean to experience and live as body of Christ? So there's two elements to it. First of all, body of Christ in the eastern side of the church was always meant the community. And I know many people here in Corpus Christi latch on to that identity, that as body of Christ from St. Paul's writings is that the body has many members. They're different, but they all work together in communion.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one element that we want to really look at over the next couple of years. How can we live better as the body of Christ? How can we be worthy of the name that we wear in the Diocese of Corpus Christi? We're the only diocese in the entire world in the Catholic Church that's called Corpus Christi. We need to not sleep
right,
and let that go by, but to reawaken in us what it means to be a community of faith, different members, different functions, but working together in unity. And that's what the call of the church today is, to live in communion with one another. Secondly, for us, Eucharist is the body of Christ, Corpus Christi.
Mm-hmm.
When we come for communion, and it's said in Latin, it's Corpus Christi. That's who we are. Pope John Paul II said that the church makes the Eucharist and the Eucharist makes the church. The church mm-hmm. needs the Eucharist. So we're going to also spend time looking at the value and the meaning of the true presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, something, again, that we've fallen asleep regarding. I think the two work together. If we were more alive as a community of faith, we would be more alive to the presence of Jesus. Because at the end of the gospel, in fact, following these verses of St. Matthew's gospel, Jesus said that I am with you always until the end of the age. So are we sensitive? Do we experience that he is with us? Advent is about celebrating the first presence. We also celebrate Advent that he will come again. But we also celebrate Advent that he's here right now, in our lives, in our communities, if we are united in his name. Where two or three gather in my name, I am there. We've fallen asleep. I think we've fallen asleep in our faith in many ways spiritually. We may have all the answers. We have a beautiful catechism, but is all that interpreted into life? And so in all the parishes this today, a letter will be read from me regarding this two-year period of preparation for the Feast of Corpus Christi in 2022. At that time, the diocese will also celebrate 110 years of its existence. So we want to have speakers throughout the 2 years to help us to relook at ourselves and to embrace our faith, to embrace the gospel, to embrace Jesus Christ himself, who has come, who is present, and who will come again. So stay tuned, everyone. Listen to my letter, hopefully well today, and let's all participate over the next couple of years to revitalize ourselves, our faith, our church, and our community, so that we can be more present in the community and more visible in the works of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will read and discuss the Word of Life for December. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
Sunday, January 12th, is the date for the 2020 Silver and Gold Anniversary Mass at Corpus Christi Cathedral. On that occasion, couples who are celebrating 25 and 50 years of sacramental marriage will be recognized. The Office of Laity, Family, and Life invites couples to this televised and web-streamed Mass at 9:30 a.m. with Bishop Michael Mulvey presiding. Certificate presentations to the recognized married couples, professional photo opportunities with the bishop, and refreshments will follow in St. Joseph's Hall beneath the cathedral. Honorees may register now and receive additional instructions at diocesecc.org/anniversary mass. If you still need more information, call the Diocese Office of Laity, Family, and Life at 361-882-6191.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, Bishop, as you know, in between the break, we were discussing, and I had some follow-up questions. So to our audience, we are going to do the Word of Life next week and continue our conversation, because my question to you was, how did this all come about?
I would attribute it to the Holy Spirit. I really, and I say that sincerely, because I've always believed that the Holy Spirit, Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit on the cross when he bowed his head and he turned over the Spirit in St. John's Gospel. At Pentecost, of course, the Spirit really came to the church, but as a gift, it was on the cross. So whenever there is suffering, I think the Holy Spirit is more active. He doesn't leave us abandoned, and I want to say that to all of us who are listening today. When we're suffering personally, or when we suffer as a church, as we're doing now, the Holy Spirit's not quiet, is not sitting off in some corner waiting until everybody gets their act together. The Holy Spirit's working and active. Mm-hmm. So I want to attribute it to the Holy Spirit. The last number of years has been tragic in the church and even more tragic in the world. In our own case, you know, there's been victims of violence, victims of abuse. Those are huge sufferings for the person mm-hmm. that's abused, mm-hmm. but also, you know, for the body of Christ to have to shoulder that shame. So in all of that, you know, we have to address that. We have to address the situation. So at a certain point, a few months ago, I just felt that we need to do something that shows us that the church is alive. This is not solving the problems, and I don't mean it to sound as if this just covers up the issues. We will continue to bear the cross with our brothers and sisters that are hurting, and we will, you know, do all that we can. But we also need to move ahead spiritually. So I began to think, what can we do? So again, through prayer, talking to a few people, I realized that in 2.5 years, we will celebrate 110 years as a diocese. When I first got here in 2010, in 2012, we celebrated the centennial. So I thought, you know, we did that as a celebration mm-hmm. of the past. So we need to move forward. So what is the best way to do that? I began to focus on the terms, I'm with you always, the words of Jesus, I am with you always at the end, until the end of time. How can we experience that today? Also, when Jesus said, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I am there. So these scripture passages, which is again God's word, the Holy Spirit, Jesus saying these things to us today, how can we experience that? So I began to say in 2022, let's put together another Eucharistic moment as mm-hmm. we did last year, and we will continue to doing each mm-hmm. year now on the Feast of Corpus Christi, which is a Thursday. Last year, as you know, we had a beautiful procession in the city with about 900 people. Couldn't we do something even more? So looking ahead and again talking to some of the priests, some lay people, in fact, every time I've mentioned this, it just kind of lights up people. So in 2022, let's prepare ourselves to celebrate well on the Feast of Corpus Christi on the Thursday. On Friday, I hope that we can bring in some artistic expressions, you know, to really celebrate mm-hmm. the body of Christ as a community and the body of Christ as Eucharist. So bring those two back together. They're not two different things. The reason we don't understand the Eucharist is we don't understand community. And if we understand community when we understand the Eucharist. So those two have to go together. That's my hope. And then on Saturday, we have the great blessing of that year would be June 17th, I believe, or 16th, 17th, 18th, 2022, we'll have two ordinations to the priesthood. So right in the center of that celebration, mm-hmm. we'll be able to celebrate with two of our fine seminarians to ordain them as priests, to bring some dignity back to the beauty of being a priest, two very wonderful young men. But throughout these 2 years, because of the ordinations, we can't do the original plan, which was to bring in a whole host of speakers to speak on this topic. But again, God's plan is always better than ours. So in my little study group there, commissioning, it's like, well, why don't we just spread out those speakers over 2 years so that we're constantly having speakers coming in, speaking about the body of Christ as community, the body of Christ as Eucharist, and how they tie together from different angles. In fact, I was speaking this morning with someone about maybe doing it in healthcare, doing it in education. How does all that play out in our mission as a church? How does it play out in the life of a family, a husband, a wife, in marriage, in people that are marginalized, with immigrants, mm-hmm. with migrants? you know, all the things that we're facing today, is do we not have a solution in our hands, at least a way to give new life, new vitality to finding the solutions to these things, living our faith, not as separate, as I mentioned earlier, not as in so many places where we build barriers against each other, but we're a body universally, not just locally, but universally. How do we come together to look at ourselves as God sees us and find in the scriptures, so the word of God will be a strong part of this as well. How do we live the words of Jesus? When he says, love your enemy, how do we do that? Do we fall asleep, as I mentioned in the first part of the program, and let it just go by? Well, that doesn't pertain to me. Well, it absolutely does. So how can we do all of this? So that's kind of how it's began, mm-hmm. you know, by looking at the tragic situation that we're in as church, as a community in the world. It's not a pretty picture when you look at it that way. But if Jesus is the light of the world, I have come so that you may have life and have it to the full. If we believe that, then he's got the solution. He's got the answers for us. He can lift us up out of this darkness and get us moving. When we fall to sleep in our faith, we fall asleep in our action, in bringing good news, in bringing the light of Christ to others. So it evolves. There's two musical groups that have all of a sudden popped up that want to be a part of this. There's different speakers who've become aware of it and would like to, you know, national speakers that we want to bring in. So I'm very excited about it, and I welcome everybody to participate in it to the nth degree, so that we can all be men and women of faith and make a difference in our world, especially here in our part of the world in Corpus Christi.
And so were the only diocese doing something like this?
Well, it revolved around, I thought originally, going back to the origins of having a Eucharistic Congress in 2022, which we will. But I thought, well, we're going to stretch it out over 2 years. So to do a Eucharistic Congress, that kind of implies like a day or 2 days. That's what most dioceses do that do this. So to go back to your question, there are Eucharistic Congresses that are international. In fact, there's one coming up in Budapest. But then there's also some that are local that are called diocesan or regional. So ours is going to be a diocesan initiative. Some dioceses do it. Others would like to do it, don't do it, can't do it. And have done it in the past. So this is nothing new. Mm-hmm. But it's a time for us to stop and look at ourselves centered around the Eucharist. And of course, for us, again, with our name Corpus Christi, how powerful that is to give meaning to not only what we believe in, the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, his presence in the community where two or three are gathered, but also it attaches to our name. Mm-hmm. We have, I think, the responsibility as a diocese with the name to explore these two dimensions of the name body of Christ and really bring them to life. So it's local to us, but it does happen in various places, both internationally, regionally, and mm-hmm. diocesan-wide.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned that we'll have the culmination, and then a couple months later, we'll have the ordination of the two.
Well, no, the ordinations will be right in the middle of the
right
culmination.
Right in the middle of it,
right
okay.
Right in the middle of it.
All right.
So when I first heard that, I thought, well, they've interrupted my plan. And we all looked at each other and laughed, said, yes, they did interrupt your plan because it's God's plan, not your plan.
That's right. That's right.
So I was very grateful for that.
So that'll be, of course, a beautiful conversation.
By the way, they don't know about it unless they listen to the program.
So this may be a surprise for them.
Yeah.
So, of course, there'll be that emphasis on vocations with the ordination.
Absolutely.
Do you, as you've been going through some of your planning and brainstorming sessions, see a conversation and an uplifting about Catholic education?
Yes. I mean, that's all, you know, how does this, because we can go into education, family life, youth, young adults with our own plans, but let's give God a little chance through this whole process to bring in some people that can speak to young people, that can speak mm-hmm. to children, can speak to schools, speak about the value of Catholic schools and religious education, but Catholic schools in promoting, you know, the church as communion mm-hmm. People, communion with the body of Christ and the Eucharist. So it's getting bigger and bigger the more we talk about it. So, but I know that we can make it happen.
Well, it sounds very interesting. Sounds very interesting.
Yes, again, as we talk about it more, it becomes bigger and bigger. But even that doesn't scare me. It becomes more exciting.
More,
yeah. So.
All right. So it'll kick off in January of 2020.
We're still working on some of the elements, but the official letter is coming out today in the parishes, and then I will write a more extensive explanation and what I would like us to accomplish, which may be ready. I was hoping for Christmas, maybe so, if not the first of the year. Others are working on a curriculum that can be used in parishes. We're working on getting the speakers. So I would say at least by Lent, the first of Lent, we'll be kind of underway. Mm-hmm. So if we can do it sooner, that'd be great. We're still planning.
Talking about expectations, it's exciting.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm leaving it in God's hands, because I know if I or just we as humans put it together, it'll fail, but with him, it will not.
No, and the Holy Spirit will be working. Exactly. Well, thank you, Bishop. We look forward to hearing your letter. If you could end our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Let us pray. With your faithful, we pray, Almighty God, the resolve to run forth to meet your Christ with righteous deeds at his coming, so that gathered at his right hand, they may be worthy to possess the heavenly kingdom. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.